welcome the gospel. Gospel according to John, the 15th and 16th chapters.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Wenn der Trost kommen wird, den ich euch senden werde vom Vater, der Geist der Wahrheit, der vom Vater ausgeht, der wird Zeugnis geben von mir. Und auch ihr seid meine Zeugen, denn ihr seid von Anfang an bei mir gewesen. Zu Anfang aber habe ich es euch nicht gesagt, denn ich war bei euch. Jetzt aber gehe ich hin zu dem, der mich gesandt hat, und niemand von euch fragt mich, wo gehst du hin? Doch weil ich das zu euch geredet habe, ist euer Herz voll von Treue. Aber ich sage euch die Wahrheit, es ist gut für euch, dass ich weggehe. Denn wenn ich nicht weggehe, kommt der Tröster nicht zu euch. Wenn ich aber gehe, will ich ihn zu euch senden. Und wenn kommt, wird die Welt die Augen auftun über die Sünde und über die Gerechtigkeit und über das Gericht. Über die Sünde, dass sie nicht an mich glauben. Über die Gerechtigkeit, dass ich zum Vater gehe und mich hinfort nicht seht. Über das Gericht, dass der Fürst dieser Welt gerichtet ist. Ich habe euch noch viel zu sagen, aber könnt es jetzt nicht ertragen. Wenn aber jener der Geist der Wahrheit kommen wird, wird euch in alle Wahrheit leiten. Denn wird mich aus sich selber reden. Sondern was hören wird, das wird reden. Und was zukünftig ist, wird euch verkündigen. Wird mich verherrlichen. Denn von den meinem wird nehmen und euch verkündigen. Alles, was Vater hat, das ist mein. Darum habe ich gesagt. Wird von dem meinen nehmen und euch verkündigen. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Could you see it? Grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. One evening over dinner this week, we got to talking about changes we've seen, and specifically, the changes Ruth Cook had seen in her 96 years of life. About the progress of technology, from kerosene lamps to electricity, from radio to TV, which first had only one channel and only for a few hours. You know, since then, I've thought about the changes that have happened since the time of Christ. If you think about that, from the time of Christ until the 1700s or 1800s, there was only marginal increase in means of transportation or communication. Almost nothing could go faster than a horse during all those years. The founding fathers, in fact, rode horses and in carriages or in sailing ships to come to the Constitutional Convention back then. In our lifetimes, church and society have faced a great many issues, a lot of issues. For example, gender, both the place of women and the place of people who aren't heterosexual. We've been wrestling with climate change and genetic engineering and cloning and space travel and racism and who knows what else. And here it is. We've used the same Bible. Christian people haven't always agreed on their conclusions, but have pretty much agreed on the centrality of the Bible for all of those discussions. How is that possible? And the answer, friends, is Pentecost. It is Pentecost. The answer is the Holy Spirit. The Spirit who keeps challenging our comfort with the world as it is in favor of nudging us toward a vision of the world as God might intend it or desire it. Pentecost. The festival of the Holy Spirit. Seems to me that the Pentecost story that we heard read a few minutes ago is probably the thesis passage for the book of Acts. We could think about the other book, the Gospel of Luke, which was by the same author. There, the Song of Mary, the one we call the Magnificat, that's the thesis passage, I think, for that whole gospel. Mary sings, God has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. And so in the Gospel of Luke, we see Jesus overcoming barriers of all kinds. His gospel includes the poor and the overlooked and the outcast. He cares for lepers. He welcomes women, Samaritans, harlots, tax collectors. It is indeed a new world. And he speaks of the dangers of wealth. Now we're in Acts. And the disciples now had seen Jesus' ministry. They had followed and they had observed it all. And they learned that the gospel is for all people. They learned to live in a world turned upside down, in which they're rejected by Jews and welcomed by Gentiles. They learned to detach from their roots in the Jewish law. They have become international and multicultural from this little place where they all started. They come to see the center of their world, not as Jerusalem, but as Rome. Incredible. Incredible change, incredible learnings in that brief time. We see a church open to the power of the Holy Spirit, and it is about Pentecost. And when we read the Pentecost story, we should hear sort of in our minds that old story about the Tower of Babel, you know, back in Genesis, that kind of story or parable or whatever you want to call it, where people wanted to build this tower to heaven, and God confused their languages so they couldn't communicate with each other, and therefore they had to scatter. And so the whole project was destroyed. But here, we read of people from many nations being brought together and all able to understand. Doesn't say, you know, exactly how that happened, but the idea is that now these divisions of nationality and language are no longer barriers. The gospel can overcome all of that, as indeed has happened over these 20 centuries. Pentecost gives an illustration of the boundaries the gospel can cross. And that still happens. A great experience we had in 1985. We were on an excursion boat on this big lake in Germany that's in German called Bodensee. In our maps, probably usually called Lake Constance. And we were there with two friends from Turkey. And I'd just been learning it about this much German, and I went to practice it. So I started talking to these two women. Turned out they were from Ethiopia. They now lived in Germany. They enjoyed Germany, but one thing made them sad, and I was surprised they would say this so quickly, they were separated from their church. That's what they really missed. And I was brave enough to ask, was that by chance the Evangelische Kirche, Mekane Jesus, the Evangelical Church Mekane Jesus in Ethiopia? Indeed it was. And they were missing it. And I could say their church hadn't been left behind. The Evangelische Kirche, the Protestant Church in Germany, the Lutheran Church in Germany, whatever you want to call it, was indeed the same church. And it was a surprise to them. They hadn't learned that yet. That was a moment of Pentecost. It's a message St. Paul delivered in different words when he wrote in Galatians, there is no longer Jew and Greek, slave or free. There is no longer male and female. You are all one in Christ. And in 1 Corinthians, for in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, all made to drink of one Spirit. Pentecost story fulfills what Jesus said about the Spirit, that the work of the Spirit is to open our hearts, to teach the church. So we've recently talked about, just a few weeks ago, Peter's encounter with Cornelius, that Roman soldier where Peter got called, you know, to come and preach to them, and he did, and the Spirit came upon them. And Peter learned. It was kind of a conversion of Peter. Peter learned something that he hadn't suspected before, and that is that the gospel is for everybody. The good news can reach beyond all of the barriers that people want to keep setting up. The Holy Spirit is the uniting spirit, the teacher, the prodder, the mover of the church. Now, I know, and you probably too, know some people who are all kind of tied up in the Spirit's parlor tricks. Speaking in tongues, miraculous healings, spiritual highs, all that stuff. And I say, okay, the Spirit can do that, but that's the small stuff. That's the small stuff. The big stuff is opening our hearts so we can look at another human being and recognize our sister or brother. The big stuff is learning that Jew and Greek, slave and free, male and female, gay and straight, black and white, young and old, are all people with the same Creator, the same Savior, and the same Spirit nudging us toward acceptance and understanding. The big stuff is the excitement people feel when they're gathered with others, as in a church convention, perhaps. And they see the diversity that is part of the church. The big work of the Spirit was the incredible awe I felt when that same year, 1985, when we were in Europe, sharing the peace in Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris with people where I had no common language. I could tell that one couple were French, another couple I knew were German, but what counted is we all knew that we were sharing the Spirit in this place of worship, and that Christ was among us. St. Paul writes, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates them all. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. My friends, if we are not involved in connecting to our neighbor and caring for the world, if whatever is going on between our ears or in our heart does not unite and build up the body, binding us together in love, we're missing the best of what the Spirit has to do. That's the message Paul uses when he writes, faith, hope, love, abide, but the greatest of these, you know this, is love. Pentecost assures us that the Spirit is here. The Spirit is loose in the world. Because that is so, it is our prayer always that the gift of the Spirit in us would be renewed and increased, that our hearts would be open to the Spirit's guidance and teaching, that the Spirit would lead us too to break down boundaries, to ask faithful questions, to speak of what God has done for us, to share our dreams, and together with all who belong to Jesus, to keep calling on the name of the Lord. Amen.